From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. During these programs, Dr. Alan Cairns is seeking to encourage God's people in their prayer lives by studying the great model that Christ Himself has given His people, the brief but powerful words we know as the Lord's Prayer. Today's focus continues to be the connection between "Give us this day our daily bread" and the next phrase, "Forgive us our debts." Since these two petitions are joined by the conjunction "and," there is a definite connection between answers to prayer and the forgiveness of sin. Dr. Cairns is calling attention to four lessons that the Lord Jesus would teach us by this connection. First, as we've already seen, unconfessed sin in a believer's life will hinder his praying. The Bible says plainly, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." The second lesson is that, by joining these two petitions, the Lord Jesus is showing that we are unworthy to receive the least of His blessings, that His mercy is magnified in giving us that to which we have no right at all. Before the message, we invite your attention to some devotional thoughts from the pen of the great 19th century preacher, C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, "Tears, Then Joyful Harvest." The text is Psalm 126 and verse 5. "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." Weeping times are suitable for sowing. We do not want the ground to be too dry. Seed steeped in the tears of earnest anxiety will come up all the sooner. The salt of prayerful tears will give the good seed a flavor which will preserve it from the worm. Truth spoken in awful earnestness has a double life about it. Instead of stopping our sowing because of our weeping, let us redouble our efforts because the season is so propitious. Our heavenly seed could not fitly be sown laughing. Deep sorrow and concern for the souls of others are a far more fit accompaniment of godly teaching than anything like levity. We have heard of men who went to war with a light heart, that they were beaten. And it is mostly so with those who sow in the same style. Come then, my heart, sow on in thy weeping, for thou hast the promise of a joyful harvest. Thou shalt reap. Thou thyself shalt see some results of thy labor. This shall come to thee in so large a measure as to give thee joy, which a poor, withered, and scanty harvest would not do. When thine eyes are dim with silver tears, think of the golden corn. Bear cheerfully the present toil and disappointment, for the harvest day will fully recompense thee.
Jesus found me,
found me,
where?
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If this series on prayer is helpful to you, you may be interested in obtaining Dr. Cairns's book, The Lord's Prayer, which contains the text of the entire series. You may purchase a copy in a number of ways. You may find the book on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Simply go to the website and click on Web Store. If you prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. However you choose to obtain a copy, you're sure to receive a great blessing as you apply these truths about prayer in your own life.
So many people complain, well, God doesn't answer prayer for me. God doesn't answer prayer anymore. We're living in a day when God seems to have given up answering prayer. And you ought to remember what the prophet Isaiah says in chapter 59, in the opening two verses. He says, "The Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy, that it cannot hear." The problem isn't with the hand or the ear of God, the ability of God to hear and answer prayer. Where is the problem? "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear you." Do you see what He's saying? He will not hear you. Think of King Saul. I think that there's few more tragic characters in Scripture than the first king of Israel. Started off with such promise. He was such an imposing figure as a young man. As a young monarch, he appeared to have the world at his feet. Saul was like a lot of people. He was very religious when he was in trouble. But Saul failed to make his supplication to the Lord. And when the crunch time came, he was going almost mad with desperation. Why? Because he had not had sin dealt with. And he couldn't pray when he needed to pray. Is that where you are this morning? Give us and forgive us. Because unless you have the forgiveness, your sin will hinder your praying. The Lord Jesus has a second reason for this linkage, and it is to emphasize our unworthiness to receive the Lord's blessing and to magnify His great mercy in giving His blessing to us at all. Give us, and then we remember, Lord, I'm asking You to give, and yet I need forgiveness, for I'm not worthy. You see, our sin renders us unworthy of the kindness of God, even in such ordinary or supposedly small matters as daily bread. But despite our sin, God has still blessed us. However poor you are this morning, He has given you your daily bread. There's not one but that He has given food to eat, a place to sleep, clothes to wear. He has surrounded you with the bounties of life, what theologians call the common grace of God, has piled upon the just and the unjust, the sunshine and the rain, the air we breathe, the water we drink, the food we eat, the organs to assimilate the good from that food. He has given us life. He has given us all things richly to enjoy. Do you deserve it? Listen to what Jacob said in Genesis 32:10. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which Thou hast showed unto Thy servant. Where's the man who doesn't have to say the same thing? If God were to strip us down to say, I give you bread and water from now to the day you die, He's giving you more than you deserve. Remember this. This may seem a very blunt way of putting it, but I like to be blunt. Remember this. Whatever God gives us, short of hellfire, is mercy. You say, you mean if God allows sickness in my life? God was not the creator of sickness. God didn't create sickness. Man became his own God by sin and introduced himself to the curse with all that comes with it. And now he wants to blame it all on God. But God is sovereign. So does He allow sickness in my life? Pain and trouble? And sorrow, and hurt, and bereavement, and tears, and anguish, and you tell me this is mercy? Yes, exactly, I tell you that. Because if you were thinking straight, and if I'm thinking straight, affliction will drive us to our knees. The psalmist said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Why? How on earth could he say that? He was not a plastic man. He was not cut out of stone. He was a real man of flesh and blood. He felt anguish like everybody else. Pain afflicted him and hurt him just the way as it does you and me. And yet he says, it's good for me to have been afflicted. Why did he say that? Because when he was afflicted, he started to think straight and he realized, I could die today, and if I died outside of the mercy and grace of God, I would perish in hell forever. And from the depths of hell, I would have to lift my eyes to God and say, this is what I have worked for. This is what I deserve. And God is righteous. Anything short of hell is mercy. Mercy. But God has given us so much more than that. You think of the blessings He has heaped upon us. We get to the place so much where we gripe and groan and justify ourselves for our feelings, for our viciousness, our rebellion, our bitterness against God, because of what we don't have. And we push out of our minds all we do have. Remember, if God gave me 1/1,000,000th part of what I deserve, God gave you 1/1,000,000th part of what you deserve, we would both be deeper down than Tyre and Sidon and Sodom and Gomorrah. For we have sinned against much greater light than they. Oh, we're unworthy. And so when the Lord Jesus brings these things together, give us and forgive us, He is using this link to convict us of our unworthiness and then to magnify the grace and the mercy of God. Dr. Allison reminded us of Lamentations 3. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. And thus, in dealing with sin and with pardon, the Lord Jesus Christ, in this prayer, immediately establishes the great biblical truth that the only basis for obtaining God's blessing is pure grace. I have emphasized that you deserve nothing from God so that you will give up that religion that is so natural to the fallen man of trying to earn the blessing of God, of trying to earn your way to heaven, of trying to feel you've got to do something or other in order to merit it. Because the Lord Jesus is impressing on us, when we say give, we must follow it with forgive, because even when we're blessed, we're still sinners. And we depend on grace. That's true of every natural blessing. Matthew 5:45 says, God makes His sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. So these natural blessings are not given because of our own merit. They're given by mercy and by grace. It's true of every spiritual blessing. One of my favorite passages in the whole Bible is Ephesians 2. You've heard me quote it, I suppose, 100 times in this pulpit. I hope it never grows old to you. For this is the testimony of every Christian. You hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the spirit that now is working, energizing in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or our behavior in times past, fulfilling the lusts of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. What a picture. If the book ended there, that's all the Bible had to say. You're as black as the outer darkness of the pit. you're as guilty as the devil. Wouldn't it be a sad and tragic revelation? But verse 4 is one of the greatest statements in the Bible. But God. Sometime, if I don't get to it, some of these erudite preachers, Dr. Barrett or Dr. Allison, some of us should get to making that little phrase, but God, the key to interpret the whole of Scripture and the whole of history and the whole of eternity. Think of it. But God. You were dead, dominated by the devil, darkened by sin, depraved, disobedient, and almost damned. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at the both sides of the but God. Dead, depraved, dark, dominated, disobedient, and almost lost for all eternity. And on the other side, made alive, quickened, blessed, raised up with Christ, exalted to the highest heaven, and given the assurance of eternal life. How did you get that? Not by what you did, for dead men can do nothing. Not by what you felt, for dead men can feel nothing. Not by what you gave, for dead men can give nothing. Not by what you merited, for dead, guilty, depraved sinners can merit nothing. But God, freely, out of the great goodness of His heart, through the merits of Jesus Christ, God gave what we couldn't earn. God bestowed what we could never merit. God in grace gave us freely what we had no natural right to. You see, the Lord Jesus is teaching us, recognize your own unworthiness, and then see the absolute glory of divine grace.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.